Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
When are natural events unnatural events? Ever think about that? And when are acts of nature really acts of God? Well, we're going to share one such event that recently happened in Israel that has many people that they viewed the same event. They are viewing it two completely different ways. We're going to let you decide how you're going to view it. Then to help us to better understand the increased threat of ISIS jihadists moving in their fight to Europe, and on a just released statement from the U.S. Congressional Committee on Homeland Security regarding the United States, with increased threat there, we're going to go and invite in to help us on this IQ Al-Rasuli, who's our European-based expert on matters of Islamic terrorism and geopolitical affairs, to help us bring some clarity to these two issues, Europe and the European side. And with that, I'm going to welcome you to Stand in the Gap Today. This is Sam Rohr, and I'm going to be joined today by the entire team, Dave Kistler and Gary Dahl. All of us are on board today. Gentlemen, great to have us all back together.
Indeed it is, Sam. Great to be back.
Good to Dave, be here without any stones.
Oh, boy, I tell you, you are correct, Dave, Gary, and we're going to let that sit right there. It's going to sink right to the bottom. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to move right on. I'm going to go to this issue I started the program with today. When are natural events unnatural events and acts of nature really acts of God? Here is an event that occurred just earlier this week in Israel. Now, I am reading just a little bit from this article that says this. Quote, an unusual thing happened in Israel last week. A massive dust storm loomed over the border facing Syria, but it stopped right at the boundary and did not move forward, literally forming a pillar of cloud that protected them, Israel, from ISIS. I'm reading on. The phenomenon was reported by Israeli soldiers who clashed with ISIS on the Golan Heights last week. They were also able to record a video of what they called the hand of Hashem, or the hand of God, intervening for their sake. And that was posted on Facebook, and a lot of people have now watched that. Reading on, the Israeli soldiers who witnessed the storm at the border claimed it was not just a storm of dust, but included clouds and rain as well. The Jews, reading on, believe that miracle was a form of divine intervention. Now, Dave, I want to go to you first on this, because based on this report and then a bunch of others, I just read from one article that cited this. The Israeli soldiers who were there believed, as it said, that it was a divine act of God. Naysayers, some of the ISIS folks, I guess, and others that I have read, fully dismiss it as nothing more than an unusual, or perhaps unusual, but still natural phenomenon. And I'm not sure whether you were able to watch that video and see how that actually happened, but it really, truly was a wall of cloud. I want to ask you this. Could this have been a divine act of God, and how should we interpret it?
Well, Sam, it very could well be that, you know, in Israel's history in the past, they've had pillars of cloud and a pillar of fire that created a separation between the people of Israel and the Egyptians. And then that pillar of cloud led them by day, and a pillar of fire led them by night. So something that someone would say, you know, is a freak act of nature, I believe could be very directly the hand of God. And Sam, if I could say this, Nahum 1:3 says, the Lord hath his way in the whirlwind, and in the cloud, and the dust, and the clouds rather are the dust of his feet. So God works in that way. And there are numerous things that have happened in even modern times. Some of the greatest preachers in the United States of America currently could testify, one of them being Dr. Tony Evans. He has a story he tells of preaching in South Carolina at Williams-Brice Stadium, and a prayer meeting taking place before that gathering that was packed with people, and a storm was rolling in, and he said, we literally prayed that God would keep the storm off the stadium so we could have our evangelistic service, and the storm literally split, went north, went south, and didn't drop a drop of rain on the stadium. Now, you can call that whatever you want to call it. I think, like in this situation in Israel, it's the direct intervention of an almighty God.
And see, Dave, that is one powerful perspective. Larry, Gary, let me go to you. Dave actually cited another example down there in South Carolina. But throughout life, there are many events which occur, perhaps like this one and others, where people have a choice about how to interpret them. And to broaden this, the November 8th election, in some cases, was one of them. We've interpreted that it was the act of God. Others saying they can't explain it. But it does make a difference. So I'm asking you this question. What makes the difference in how a person interprets unusual events of this type, be it the weather or be it this election thing where, you know, it defies all imagination? What makes that difference, Gary?
Well, Sam, I think it goes back to an understanding of who God is, what God expects, and how God operates. You know, we have a sovereign God, and one of the statements I give to my congregation many, many times is that God has either caused, allowed, or directed all things to happen. Think of that. He has caused, allowed, or directed all things to happen. Nothing happens apart from God's allowance, direction, or actually cause. And we can depend upon that. And when we understand that God is in control of everything that takes place, as the Word of God teaches, then we must recognize, Sam, that there are no happenstances, there are no circumstances outside of God's boundaries. And so we just depend upon God. You know, you talk about the recent November 8th election. There's no doubt in my mind that God is the one who crafted that. I believe that wholeheartedly. But, you know, getting back to Israel, if we would look back into some of the wars that Israel has had in modern times since about 1967, we would find that there were many, many, many clear illustrations as to how God protected Israel, how he guided pilots, how he guided those who were on the ground from walking over landmines. I mean, God is in control. God will take care of Israel. And I believe 100% that what you talked about there at the very beginning about this great cloud, I think God had his hand in that totally, my personal
Dave,
opinion.
I do too, Gary. And Dave, let me come back to you. Doesn't it make a huge difference in the way people act depending upon how they view these things? For instance, the Israeli soldiers who saw this and said this was the divine act of God, don't you think their actions or their confidence level, their whole attitude going forward is a whole lot different than if they just thought that that was just something that just happened?
Well, it does, Sam. You know, if you know anything about the IDF, the Israeli Defense Force, they're highly trained. And for these highly trained, highly skilled individuals to see that this was well outside the normal and to attribute it to the hand of God, you know, Sam, that's got to give them phenomenal confidence as they move forward. And the fact that they even attributed it to God is in and of itself an amazing thing.
Dave, I think you're right. I think the fact that they even saw that and they said that God's hand was there is an amazing statement to itself. But I think it should remind all of us, God is in charge and his hand's over Israel and his hand is around all of those who trust in him. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to switch gears and go into our segment two here and just after the break. IQ Ar-Rasuli, author of the trilogy of books Unveiling Islam, will be our guest. And we're going to talk to him about these increased threats from Islamic jihadists on Israel, or in Europe, and in the United States. What it means, we're going to try and put that together for you today.
Live, love, learn, and leave a legacy. These are great words, but if you want to leave a legacy to your children and grandchildren these days, it's going to take some careful planning. And that's where we come in. We're the Life Financial Group, advisors you can trust. We're Christian, families based upon the Bible, so that we can say we truly understand your values. In fact, for nearly 40 years, folks of all ages have counted on us to care for and grow their financial resources. Through prayer, prudent investment, and pleasant, knowledgeable people, we can help you navigate your investments so you feel secure. We're glad to offer morally clean investment options that won't sear your conscience or make you anxious. We're also comfortable talking about increasing the impact of your charitable giving. How do we make a difference? So learn how you can have peace of mind by calling us today at 610-385-4500. That's 610-385-4500. Or online at thelifegroup.org. That's thelifegroup.org.
Securities and advisory services offered through Genius Wealth Management, member FINRA and SIPC. Hello, this is Sam Rohr. Although the term Christian education doesn't occur in the Bible, it does speak of the moral and spiritual instruction of children. It places a high value on knowledge, both of God and His works. It describes the moral and spiritual fruits of this knowledge and defines its ultimate purpose, the growth of your child in godliness of character and action. That's why we suggest you consider BJU Press K-12 materials. Your child's a unique individual created for a specific purpose. Proper instruction that includes the Bible and the relational influence of godly teachers produces a pure heart and a willing mind. The Bible calls that success. BJU Press materials are well written, grade level appropriate, and biblically integrated. They teach critical thinking skills and keep your child engaged and excited about learning. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit BJUPress.com. That's BJUPress.com.
History was made on today's date. Stay tuned for an American Minute with Bill Federer.
In the year 1891, on this day, December 9th, President Benjamin Harrison wrote, "This government has found occasion to express to the Tsar its serious concern because of the harsh measures being enforced against the Hebrews in Russia. Great numbers have been constrained to abandon their homes and leave the empire. It is estimated that over 1 million will be forced from Russia within a few years." President Harrison concluded, "The Hebrew has always kept the law, often under oppressive restrictions. This, as well as the suggestion of humanity, furnishes ample ground for the remonstrances we have presented to Russia."
This has been an American Minute with Bill Federer. For a free transcript, call American Minute at 1-888-USA-WORD.
At Home with Bella, encouraging parents, educating their children.
Today's thought is, how can we, in the midst of our commitments, gift buying, and year-end deadlines, take the time to talk about the real meaning of Christmas and demonstrate it to our children? Christmas, which is remembering Christ's coming, is the ultimate expression of God's love for humanity. And one of the ways we can demonstrate the love of God is by developing a love of and for people who are different from us, be it in their values or nationality or religious or political affiliation. Because Christ came and died for each one of these brothers and sisters. This accepting nature of love, as Paul says in Romans 15:7, accept one another, is hard. It comes out of the revelation that all of us, in God's sight, are needing of His love and redemption.
Bella is an educator who has been home educating her children for 20 plus years through Gamaliel School. She lives in the Philadelphia area. For more on At Home with Bella, or for homeschooling help, contact Bella at bellavictor.com.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, on this segment, we're going to now bring in one of our favorite guests and our listeners' favorite guests, and that's IQ Arasuli. He is he's a world religion expert. He's the author of the trilogy of books, Unveiling Islam, born in Iraq, but now living in exile. IQ, welcome to the program today.
Thank you for having me, Pastor.
We are just really glad that you're with us. And there were some things that, from a current news perspective, we felt that your input would provide perhaps the best expert opinion. And let me get right into them in this segment and the next. This first one has to do with, I'm going to tell you now, read two titles. Here's a title from an article that says this: Battle-Ready Jihadists Flood Europe. Battle-Ready Jihadists Flood Europe. The other one that kind of accompanies it on the United States side says this. Title: U.S. Facing Biggest Islamic Terror Threat Since September 11th, according to a House report, and that did come out of the Committee on Homeland Security this week. Actually, both of these statements, one was from the EU and then the other from the Congressional Committee, all were about the same time. Let me read just a couple of lines here, IQ, just to set this up for our listeners. Came out of the London Sun yesterday, and it says this: ready to strike. And again, I'm reading from the article headline. ISIS has flooded Europe with 1,500 highly trained terrorists ready to launch attacks, a chilling EU report claims. As many as 5,000 European ISIS fanatics have traveled to fight in Syria and Iraq. 1,500 jihadists fighting with ISIS in Syria and Iraq have returned to Europe with orders to, quote, carry out attacks, end quote, the report warned. An estimated 5,000 of these European fanatics went to the battlefield in Syria and Iraq. 15 to 20% of them died, but now around 30 to 35% are returning home with specific missions, while the other half remained in the battle theater. So that puts about 1,750, a number estimated from that, are returning to Europe with specific efforts. Now, the report said there are two types of foreign terrorist fighters, those on specific missions and those who will fade back into society. Linking that, U.S. Congressional Committee, the same day, issued their statement saying that the U.S. faces the biggest terror threat since 9/11, meaning 9/11 happened, but the threat now perhaps may be even greater, if that's what they're saying, because there's something here perhaps about to happen. Let me start with you right here, IQ. Perhaps you can take and lump these together, if you can, in this context. It's the ISIS threat that really has targeted Western Europe, targeted the United States, and targeted Israel. I find it interesting that these two reports are coming out nearly on the same day. They're saying about the same things. And at the same time, they're happening at a time when European elections are kind of turning the political landscape in Europe, and at the same time, the election of Donald Trump is turning the lay of the land here in the United States. Do you see an increased likelihood, and this is the question, do you see an increased likelihood of Islamic attacks as indicated here in Europe and the United States in the next few weeks and months?
Look, always be aware that these Islamic threats have absolutely nothing to do with Trump, inauguration, or the USA. But they have everything to do with we, the kuffar, the infidels, the non-Muslims, the 80% of humanity currently who are not under Sharia or are not dead. This is a worldwide war. It has absolutely nothing to do with any individual per se. It is everything to do that we non-Muslims exist on the face of the earth. I shall repeat this for as long as I'm able to. Every single Muslim is a member of ISIS. Somebody will ask why. Simple. Because every single Muslim reads and follows the commands of Allah in Muhammad's Quran, whether they live with ISIS or under ISIS or in any other area on the face of the earth. Every Muslim is reading the same hate-mongering, war-mongering, racist, misogynist, duplicitous, treasonous, intolerant, and vile Quran, and must emulate their perfectly depraved mentor, Muhammad bin Abdullah. By the way, the figures of 1,700 are way, way underestimated. Why? Because in 2015, 1.5 million able-bodied Muslims invaded Europe. 1.3 million of them were in Germany. So this 1,700 is bold. I don't want to use bad language here.
It's not true.
It is an underestimate, a gross underestimate. And they will attack. And it has nothing to do with the inauguration. Because ISIS is losing the battlefield in its own land, which is in Iraq and Syria and North Africa. So they have to take revenge by mass slaughter in Europe. So what's happening? People in Europe are waking up the same way as the people in America have woken up by electing Donald Trump. You talk about divine intervention, no question about it. It has to be with divine intervention that Donald Trump was elected. Because otherwise, America would have been finished. Western civilization would have been finished under Hillary Clinton. Why? She would have done nothing about Islam.
Yep.
IQ, let me jump in and ask this question. I understand what you're saying, and you made it unequivocally clear that what's happening and the threat is not being affected directly by Donald Trump's presidency, by the inauguration. However, I do want to just dig down a little bit deeper. These jihadists are opportunistic, and if they have a situation where they feel it's going to be easier to strike or they need to strike sooner rather than later, is the fact that Donald Trump is coming in as president, he is going to clamp down on the entrance of jihadist elements into the United States. Could that in any way escalate what they might want to do in the United States, hence causing them to want to strike before the inauguration or perhaps even at the inauguration?
It can be done both ways, but again and again, I must remind you, it has nothing to do with Donald Trump. What's happening in Europe is what happened in America. The public is waking up that the elite in the government in Europe and the elite in the government in America have allowed an invasion by Muslims, able-bodied Muslims, both in America under Obama and in Europe under all the governments. Poland is revolting. Hungary already said no. Serbia, no. Czech Republic, no. All these people don't want Islam anymore. Why? Because you cannot tell who is a peaceful, so-called peaceful Muslim from a jihadi Muslim. They both look exactly the same. They both pretend they are integrated. But at an instant of time, they can turn into mass slaughter. This is not racism. Islam is not a race. Please remember that. Islam is a political movement covering itself in religious garments. It isn't. It's political. They want to dominate the whole world. Who said so? The Quran said so 1,400 years ago. Every imam on planet Earth, every imam in every mosque, in every madrasa, every Friday will tell you exactly the same thing. We shall raise the Islamic flag over the White House, over the Vatican, over the Champs-Élysées, over the parliaments, in House Parliament in England. This is not a hidden agenda. Donald Trump is absolutely right. You must not allow any more Muslims coming in. And if they're coming in, you've got to vet them. And the ones who are already in America have got to be vetted. This is not, we're not discussing racism here. We're not picking on somebody who is really innocent. Why? Every Muslim is reading the Quran. Every Muslim believes in Sharia. Sharia is the nemesis of the Constitution of the United States of America. Sharia is the enemy of every freedom known to humanity.
But you know, IQ,
that's complicated.
You know, IQ, I appreciate what you're saying, that, you know, we have got to watch every aspect of Islam because of its basic goal to establish a worldwide caliphate. But let's go to Europe for just a little bit. Recently, it was announced that Angela Merkel has made the full covering of the burqa illegal in Germany. And I'm sure that you think that that's a pretty good idea. But do you think that that she's been under the influence of Donald Trump in coming along with that decision? Because for a long time, she's been allowing some of these immigrants to come in from Syria right into Germany.
Not she. She hasn't changed her mind. It's the people who are supporting her, those who are in her own party, who have woken up to the threat of Islam. Yes. No, she hasn't changed her mind, by the way. She still prefers to have more Muslims coming in. She is completely out of touch with reality, completely. You know, it's amazing when you think about it in a logical manner. How is it conceivable that anybody in America who is a leader would allow Somali Muslims to come in unvetted? Why do I say Somali Muslims? Because they are the ones who are joining ISIS from America.
Yeah.
Okay? This is not racism. Get it through your own mind. We are discussing an enemy of every human being on the planet. That is
it. IQ Al-Rasuli, thank you for the commentary in this first segment. Ladies and gentlemen, we want you to stay with us because we're going to continue this type of discussion as we move from this emphasis on jihadi action in Europe and the United States and this great perspective that IQ laid out. And we're going to move that to Israel. and some efforts that Israel been involved in, we think perhaps in Damascus, and Tri-Half IQ put this whole thing together for us on that battlefield, really where ISIS is playing there in the Middle East. We'll be right back.
These are the times that try men's souls. The summer soldier and the sunshine patriot will, in this crisis, shrink from the service of their country. But he that stands it now deserves the love and thanks of man and woman. Tyranny, like hell, is not easily conquered. Yet we have this consolation with us, that the harder the conflict, the more glorious the triumph. Thomas Paine, The American Crisis, 1776.
Fox News Radio. I'm Chris Foster. President-elect Trump met with House Speaker Paul Ryan at Trump Tower in New York this morning, and now he's back out campaigning. Spokesman Jason Miller.
The president-elect is now on his way to a rally in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, to show his support for the Republican candidate for U.S. Senate, John Kennedy, where they have election coming up tomorrow.
That's a runoff. And then tonight, another thank you rally in Grand Rapids, Michigan. A report on cheating by Russian Olympians by the World Anti-Doping Agency.
Investigator Richard McLaren saying more than 1,000 Russian athletes, including medalists at the 2012 and 2014 Olympics, benefited from a government-sponsored systematic cheating scheme. The report claiming it went as far as using salt and instant coffee granules to manipulate urine samples.
Fox's Simon Owen, a Russian Olympics official, says the report is out of date with reforms now in place. Fox News. We report, you decide.
WFYL. From the Pennsylvania Family Institute, I'm Michael Gear with today's Family Update. The idea that Christians and their pastors would hold to biblical views about marriage and human sexuality seems to be scandalous in some circles these days. Take the uproar that started last week when the website BuzzFeed published an article saying that the pastor of the church where hosts Chip and Joanna Gaines of the HGTV show Fixer Upper attend opposes same-sex marriage, and who knows, maybe they do too. The whole idea of the article is to try and scare Bible-believing Christians from making their views public. It's part and parcel of the ongoing attacks on religious liberty, the freedom to believe, and standing for the truth that marriage is the union of one man and one woman. Worse yet, these types of attacks seek to prevent Christians from even getting jobs or obtaining licensing to be counselors, attorneys, or medical professionals. We need to stick together and stand up for truth, and I invite you to join with the Pennsylvania Family Institute to do so. Go to pafamily.org for more information.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website. AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, in just the last few days, there have been major surface-to-surface missile strikes and bombing missions in Syria, and most recently right on the outskirts of Bashar Assad's palace at the Damascus airport. The assumptions are that Israel is behind these strikes, although Israel has neither confirmed nor denied, which frankly is their position on these kinds of things. The unofficial word is that Israel is targeting Hezbollah efforts to transfer major weapons, including weapons of mass destruction. Yet the U.S. media has been nearly silent. Only a couple of media have actually said anything about this, although it is overseas, BBC and other places. So, IQ, because you're with us, and part of the reason I want to have you back with us today on the program, I wanted to see if you could help clear up a little bit or explain perhaps what is happening with these attacks. To me, it's not insignificant that Israel is actually engaging at this point and engaging right smack in Syria and right at the doorstep, literally, of the Bashar Assad's own palace in Damascus. IQ Avrasouli, you're our author of Unveiling Islam and our expert. What can you tell us about this in a general sense? What's happening there?
Very simple. It's not even general sense. Putin is a pragmatic nationalist. He's a nationalist. He's a born-again Russian Orthodox Christian who has a very good relationship with Bibi Netanyahu and will have an excellent one with Trump. Because Russia is not, I repeat, not the enemy of the USA, because it's not the communist Soviet Union. It is now that Russians look up to Americans to emulate. Israel is able to surgically destroy targets in the heart of Syria because of the understanding between Bibi and Putin. What is the understanding? Putin can do whatever he wants to do in Syria. But for as long as Hezbollah and any other Islamic entity is not empowered to attack Israel or to transfer weapons of mass destruction to Hezbollah, Bibi has the right to destroy these targets. And they are doing it. It's not because the Russians are not being able to destroy Israeli aircraft. Not at all, no. Russia has got some of the most sophisticated anti-aircraft and anti-missile systems, the S-300 and S-400. The understanding is there. And this is why I say Putin will have a fantastic relationship with Trump. And it will be great for America. Because the enemy, the common enemy to humanity today, the common enemy to humanity in the 21st century is fundamentalist Mohammedan Islam, with or without weapons of mass destruction. I want this to sink in the mind of every single American. This is not racism. This is to protect you. I say these things. I'm living in Europe. I'm scared. Why? Because European elite have allowed millions of Muslims to take over, and they never integrate. Muslims will never integrate. Muslims cannot integrate. The Quran forbids it. Is that simple? Really, is that simple?
IQ, I want to ask you a question. This is just a tad off topic, but in a sense it is on topic. The DNC, the Democratic National Committee, seems almost bent on trying to get Keith Ellison, who is the first Muslim ever in the U.S. Congress, to be the next leader of the DNC. Can you speak to how that would affect things with respect to things domestically here in the United States, should he become the head of the DNC? And what would that do with respect, potentially from a damaging way, to relationships around the globe, even factoring in our ongoing or future relationship of our new president with Putin and Russia?
It is irrelevant. I hope they elect him. Why? Because when they elect this Muslim, the Democratic Party will never survive again. I'm telling you, when they elect this Muslim, it is the end of the Democratic Party. Complete. Why? This Muslim, he swore allegiance to America on the Quran. Which Quran? Jefferson's Quran in Congress. But that doesn't mean anything. He swore on the Quran. And what does the Quran follow? Sharia. And Sharia is what? The nemesis of the Constitution that saved America. So he swore on a book that is holy to him. Are you with me so far?
Absolutely.
It's holy to him. He swore on it. Beautiful. But it is the nemesis of everything that Americans stand for. So he swore allegiance to the opposite of the American Constitution. He's a traitor. I'm not kidding with you. Every one of them in Congress or in any position in the United States of America, when they say he is a believing Muslim, he is definitely a traitor. I can't put it in any other language, by the way. I can't sugarcoat it.
No,
he is a hate-monger. Listen to what he said before in the last 10 years. He, by the way, he supports the Muslim Brotherhood.
That's right. Absolutely. Absolutely. I understand.
ISIS. It's ISIS. Muslim Brotherhood is ISIS. Why? Because the spiritual leader of the Muslim Brotherhood is Al-Qardawi. Yusuf Al-Qardawi. Google it. There is nothing difficult about Islam. It is the enemy of every human being on the planet who is not a Muslim. It is the enemy of every Muslim who is not of the same sect. So Islam, in fact, is 100% the enemy of every human being on the planet. Believe it or not, it's true. Why? Because the Shia hate the Sunnis. The Shia are 15%. The Sunnis are 85% of Islam. And the Sunnis hate the Shia. So what's left? And both of them hate everybody else who's not a Muslim. So who is left, for God's sake, tell me? But nobody in the media will ever tell you these things. Nobody. Why? Because the media is colluding with the enemies of the United States of America. They have been colluding with the enemies of the United States of America for 60 years. Yes.
IQ, you mentioned just a little bit ago that this is what you stated, that Putin is a born-again Russian Orthodox Christian. Now, I would like for you to explain what you mean by that for our listeners. I mean, I would personally find it difficult to say that Putin is a born-again Christian, but are you making some sort of a distinction there that we are missing out on? I know that he's building a relationship with Bibi Netanyahu, but I really wonder about this idea of him being a born-again Russian Orthodox Christian.
Well,
maybe you can explain.
Two and a half years ago, I was the first one. By the way, you can check everything I say because it's recorded on my talk shows. I said Putin is not enemy of America. Putin was born in a communist society. His father was a communist member, top level. He became part of the KGB. But when he was born, his mother baptized him. His father knew about it but kept his mouth shut. And his mother used to take him to church every Sunday. When he became ruler of Russia, his mother gave him a cross. And she told him he's got to go to Jerusalem on a private visit to the Russian Orthodox temple in Jerusalem and consecrate it. And he did that, by the way. He went twice to Israel. Putin has been twice to Israel, once as a politician and once as a private member. He is a born-again Christian. By the way, the greatest support he gets now is from the Pope. They call him the Pope, the leader of the Russian Orthodox Church, Kirill. Completely, they are completely together all the time.
IQ, let me ask you this, because that statement that you made, I mean, it really clearly, I mean, it really kind of boggles our minds here a little bit.
Why does it boggle your mind? The only reason it boggles your mind because the news media never tell you anything.
We don't disagree with you on that. That's for sure. But when it comes to Vladimir Putin, I mean, there's been a lot of information out there. There's no question about it about him. But when did he change his ideology? When in fact he was the leader of the police force there, you know, the KGB
forth. Part of the KGB, but has nothing to do with it. He was part parcel of a corrupt government. He is now the leader. He is bringing Russia to the West. He's not an enemy of America. This is not the Soviet Union. He is not a communist. This is why the news media have failed the American people left, right, and center. Obama and Hillary Clinton picked a fight with Putin. Big mistake. Putin is a chess player. Obama is a golf player. There is no contest in that. Best chess player will always win. But Trump is a different guy. Trump is a negotiator. They will sit together and they will come to a very good conclusion, believe me. And he is a born-again Christian. Google it. You know, it's amazing. It's so how simple it is to find out information. Google it. You will see he goes to church. Whether he's doing it for political reasons or not, I don't think so. He honestly is a born-again Christian. He is the one who is saying, no more Muslims. No more Muslims.
Well,
in Europe,
everybody's
saying, no, bring them in, bring them in.
Oh, yes.
Why?
No question, IQ. You've laid out some things there. We're going to have to do some more thinking about here and pull together some of that information, I can assure you. But we have you on here because you bring a perspective that is very, very clear. And so we appreciate that more than you know. Ladies and gentlemen, we've had IQ Al-Rasuli on with us these last two segments. We're going to move from that. IQ, thanks for being with us today. Author of Unveiling Islam. Always a pleasure to have you on.
Ladies and gentlemen, when we come back after this next break, we're going to pick up where we started at the beginning of the program, talking about our view of life and really what difference does it make how we view life from God's perspective or from a natural perspective.
Christian parents want their children to excel in spiritual growth and educational achievement. Both are essential for future success in an increasingly complex world full of moral and economic challenges. BJU Press Materials place great value on the knowledge of God in His works. They teach critical thinking skills your child will need to get along both now and in the future. BJU Press Materials are available for grades K to 12. From the earliest grades, they teach biblical Christianity as a system of God-revealed truths. BJU Press Materials are well-written, grade-level appropriate, and biblically integrated. Teacher's editions assure that instructors have the plans and extra tools to keep your child engaged and excited about learning by teaching your child how to analyze, evaluate, and ultimately create new solutions. And that's just what today's workplace is looking for. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit bjupress.com. That's bjupress.com.
Securities and advisory services offered through Genius Wealth Management, member FINRA and SIPC.
Today, people are living longer than their forebears. Right now, more than 1 million Americans are alive past age 100. That means you need to work toward having financial resources that can give you independence into your golden years. But weighing different investment options may make you feel overwhelmed. You need someone, a trusted friend, who can come alongside and help you keep the complex simple. That's where the Life Financial Group comes in. For nearly 40 years, the Life Financial Group has helped thousands of families, not only here in Pennsylvania, but nationwide, become even better financial stewards of God's blessings. Managing your investments may feel challenging, but by using a complete financial stewardship approach, you too can gain confidence and peace of mind that your wealth is protected and that you maintain your financial independence. With morally clean investment options, we can help you reach your goals while honoring your convictions. Call us at the Life Financial Group today at 610-385-4500 or online at thelifegroup.org. That's thelifegroup.org.
There are over 42,000 cyber school students in Pennsylvania. Miss Philadelphia 2015 was a 2009 graduate of Pennsylvania Leadership Charter School. Athletes, actors, musicians, scholars, and community leaders appreciate the flexible schedule cyber school offers so they can pursue their passions, become independent learners, critical thinkers, and empowered leaders. Learn more today. Visit www.palcs.org or call 1-877-725-2785. That's www.palcs.org for Pennsylvania Leadership Charter School.
PA Leadership Charter School. Lead, don't follow.
This is At Home with Bella, encouraging parents, educating their children at home.
Today's thought is, how can we, in the midst of our commitments, gift buying, and year-end deadlines, take the time to talk about the real meaning of Christmas and demonstrate it to our children? Christmas, which is remembering Christ's coming, is the ultimate expression of God's love for humanity. And one of the ways we can demonstrate the love of God is by developing a love of and for people who are different from us, be it in their values or nationality or religious or political affiliation. Because Christ came and died for each one of these brothers and sisters. This accepting nature of love, as Paul says in Romans 15:7, accept one another, is hard. It comes out of the revelation that all of us, in God's sight, are needing of His love and redemption.
Bella is an educator who has been home educating her children for 20-plus years through Gamaliel School. She lives in the Philadelphia area. For more on At Home with Bella, or for homeschooling help, contact Bella at bellavictor.com.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, as we wrap up this powerful program, and we've been hearing from listeners and all over a lot of information on today's program, and some of it we're going to try and clarify because some statements made by our guest, IQ Avrasuli, in the last segment may have many of you scratching your heads a little bit. As frankly, I tried to express, I'm scratching mine a little bit as well. And that was the commentary. And Dave and Gary, I think we need to discuss it here briefly. IQ was very, very emphatic. Again, he's European. He is former Iraqi. That's where he was born. He's had a progression in his spiritual life. We're going to talk. We've never talked with him about it on this program. But clearly, as we've said, everybody's perspectives really filter the way they think. And that's just the way it is. And there's nothing wrong with that, but it does make a difference. Now, for him, and he's the one first, he made that statement several weeks ago, on this program about Putin not being an enemy of the United States. Frankly, there's a lot of people who would disagree with that, guys. I know you know that. And to go ahead and say that he is a Christian, that would throw off a whole bunch more off of the normal bus. And then to say he's a born-again Christian would even throw more off of the bus from the standpoint of how can this be true. But his level of tenacity bears a little bit of thinking. I had one listener actually wrote to me during this last moment, last segment, and made this statement to me. He said that when he used to travel to Russia, that there they called Christians believers, and that being baptized was an outward mark or a sign that a person had identified with Christianity. And of course, the Russian Orthodox community is the dominant group in Russia. There are independent Baptists and there's Pentecostals, other groups that are out there, but that's the large entity that is there. Now, some people say born again because they mean that it's just mean he's just really committed, not necessarily biblically born again in true salvation, as we understand that term to be. But Dave, let me go to you first on that and just say, I think we need to give some commentary. Do you have any thoughts on this point? Because I don't want to spend too much time, but we do need to have some commentary on this.
Sure, Sam. And I think the clarification you just gave is probably the best thing we could say. The word Christian, Christendom, Christianity is used, and depending on what part of the world in which it's used, it can mean different things. For example, we hear the term Coptic Christians, and those mm-hmm. That's a term that applies to, you know, supposedly a segment of people in the Middle East. Well, just because they're called a Coptic Christian, they may genuinely be a born-again, genuinely biblically born-again Christian, or some people use that term, and they use it in this sense, they mean non-Muslim. So again, the perspective from which you're coming will determine how you use that term. Obviously, we believe the Bible teaches for a person to be born again, they must profess faith in Jesus Christ, they must renounce confidence or dependence upon anything else, their good works, their church membership, the fact that they are allied with any kind of a church or that they've been baptized. That is not what they're putting their confidence in. They're putting their faith, their trust, their complete belief in what Jesus did for them on the cross of Calvary. They're accepting that by grace through faith, and that makes them born again. And so that's how we use the term Christian. The way IQ is using it is, again, coming from a European context and from a little bit of a different understanding. Sam, I think that's probably the best way to explain it.
Okay, Dave, thanks for doing that. And Gary, I don't know if you have any comment just to add if that's not been said, because we've talked about it on this program. Even we had George Barna on yesterday, and his research with conservative Christians, evangelicals, he's made it very clear, and as we know, that, you know, if you poll or research people in America, the average 80-some percent of them, I think like 90% of those in Congress, say they are Christians. But they're really not biblical Christians. And so perhaps we just ought to just leave this discussion right now based on what we know on that, that there's a lot of folks who say they are, meaning they're not Muslims or they're not Hindus, but there's a difference between that and knowing Jesus Christ as personal Savior. Gary?
Well, Sam, there are three types of so-called Christians. They are traditional Christians simply because of the fact that they've been brought up in a Christian family, Christian home, Christian church, yet they may not have trusted Christ as Savior. There are cultural Christians in the sense that they are not Muslim or Buddhists or whatever the case may be, or atheists. But then there are biblical Christians, and that would be those who are born again, as it says in Galatians chapter 3, I think it is verse 26, For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. I am concerned about what IQ said, because I think that his explanation would be that Putin is a born-again Christian because he went to church, he carries a cross. That's liturgy. Liturgy does not save. The only thing that saves is the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And I agree with the fact that people might have different perspectives of what salvation is all about, but we cannot allow a different perspective from what the Word of God says. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus alone. And that's it. There's no other way to be saved than that.
Gary, and I think, and Dave, I think we'll just leave that there right now, because we wanted to clarify this statement that IQ made, because we don't know anything more than what he said. We are identifying some potential problems with what he said, but we're wanting to let all of you who are listening know that being a Christian in the largest sense does not mean that you are a Christian from God's perspective. It may just mean, and that's what people have to be concerned about, do you know Christ as your personal Savior, which makes you a true child of God, or does you mean in your mind being a Christian is just not being a Muslim? That is a whole different matter, and something that's very, very clear. Now, Dave, I'm going to switch gears here just because I want to get to where we started with today, because I want to close the program with this. We started this by pulling out that example of that pillar, that cloud effect over there in Israel, and that you had the soldiers saying this was an act of God. And you had others that were saying this is just a natural event. Dave, at the beginning of our country, the pilgrims viewed natural occurrences as the voice of God, rains, earthquakes, droughts, and affected how they lived. Would you lay out a few biblical principles as we kind of wrap this up again here today regarding natural events, be it earthquakes off of California right now, other places around the world, the November 8th election? Summarize this whole thing from the standpoint of how we as believers should view events around us and how it should impact our lives.
Well, very quickly, Sam, let me say this. The fact that the pilgrims viewed it that way is very, very interesting, considering when they came into this country, they were actually intending to land in Virginia. They landed in Plymouth, Massachusetts. The charter given to them from the King of England for Virginia was invalid, so they wrote their own charter because they didn't land in Virginia, and they called that charter the Mayflower Compact. And in the Mayflower Compact, which exerted tremendous influence on our Declaration of Independence, our U.S. Constitution, and the whole framework of the United States, in the Mayflower Compact, they said they were coming here for the advancement of the Christian faith. So their very journey was directed by a holy and a righteous God, and they believed that God superintended over natural occurrences. You know, Sam, we view it this way. Your worldview dictates everything. If you believe everything happens by chance, then that will drive you to look at a natural occurrence and say, well, that's just a happenstance. It occurred without any direct relation to God or any deity. If your worldview says you believe God rules over the affairs of men, which is what our worldview, a biblical one, says, then God directs or allows all these things.
Now, Gary, I was going to give you the last word, but we're out of time. I think you would say is that your view of God, if you believe that God is in control, it should allow our lives to live with greater confidence and greater faith and greater action. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the power for standing in the gap for truth. We ask that you look at life from God's perspective, stand in the gap for truth. Have a great weekend, ladies and gentlemen. Join us back on Monday after this weekend. We'll be right here, and we hope you're joining us at that time. God bless you all.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler. Brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.americanpastorsnetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.
Broadcasting live from historic West Norriton Township, this is AM 1180.